circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And I want to commence reading at verse 1. And it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, and more especially the doers of his holy word. I want to talk about developing godly character. Developing godly character. I think it is so important that as we move from one level to the next level in our Christian walk with the Lord, as we come in worship services on Sunday morning and other times of the week that we worship the Lord, that we realize that the Lord is not simply looking for a good worship service or a good praise service. He's not looking for folk to just demonstrate their ability to lift up holy hands or hands even that are unholy. He's not looking for those who can just dance or shout or be moved or filled with emotions. But he's looking for some folk who are going to live what he himself has designed and desired for his people to live as they reflect him in a world that cannot see him but can see us. I think as believers, it is important that we understand that we have got to develop our character, and our character must be essentially connected with the character of God. Now, you can be born again and still be carnal. And by carnal, I mean still worldly, still fleshly, still living in self. You can be born again and be saved and still yet acting like still some of the ways of the world and some of the old ways of your old nature, et cetera, because again, there must be, after baptism, there must be a conversion of your old character to your new character. That there must be a new way of life. And the reality is that the reason why a lot of folk don't believe that we're saved is because we're still acting unsaved. You know, you cussed and fought before you got baptized. You still cussing and fighting right now. You did some ungodly things before you got baptized, before you became saved. You're still doing the same things now. And to the world, they don't really believe you're saved. They don't really believe that you know God, because your character has not changed. And what we've got to understand is Romans 12 teaches us that we have got to be transformed. And how do you become transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Now, just because you become saved does not mean that all of the things that you remember or knew how to do in the past or before you became saved immediately becomes banished from your thinking. It doesn't mean that it immediately becomes washed from your life. That's so far from the truth. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And so there must be a transformation. There must be a changing and a renewing that takes place underneath the skin. Just to come to church on Sunday mornings, week after week, does not change you. Amen. Preaching was designed to challenge you, to stir you up, to bring you to a focal point. But then teaching, the tag teammate, was designed to change you. So preaching and teaching goes together. If you come to church on Sunday, you ought to be in some kind of Bible study through the week, because here the two work together in helping to change your character. Reputation is what men think about you. Character is what God knows about you. Reputation is what men see. Character is what you are in the dark. If you're right underneath the skin, it doesn't matter whether somebody is watching you or not. You're going to be right, period, because it's the right thing to do and the right way to be. Look at verse 1 when it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." Now, let's look at that, if you will. First of all, the word starts off blessed. And I think you need to know that the word is challenged to mean happy, and it means those who are well-adjusted. Happy, blessed, well-adjusted are the undefiled.
Yeah.
Undefiled. Now, this word undefiled brings about a whole new meaning. It means to be entire. It means to be unblemished. It means to have a way that is right.
Amen.
And so it says, happy and well-adjusted is a man or a woman whose way is right.
Yeah.
Now, listen at this. And it says, in the way. Now, this word way is, again, translated as revelation because it gives us to know the way of God. And we could never know the way of God unless God reveals the way of God. So the word way here means revelation or knowledge of God. Now, look at what it says, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, it's one thing to be well-adjusted. It's one thing to be right. It's one thing to be entire. It's one thing to have the revelation of God, the knowledge of God, to know what to do, but it's an altogether different thing to walk in it.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to ask a simple question, and I'll prove my point. How many of us have known the right thing to do and still haven't done it?
Amen.
Every hand ought to go up in this here house. And if you're watching by TV, in your house. Because the truth of the matter is, just because we know the way doesn't necessarily mean that we actually... I ain't got to say nothing because I'm supposed to be walking in the way that I know. If I know the way, and I can't walk in the way unless I know the way, so when I know the way, then the next act is, the next step is to walk in that way that I know. You see, the reality is, when we begin to have the revelation, the knowledge, the understanding, then we no longer have excuses.
Amen.
If you don't know better, you're not expected to do better.
Amen.
But James say, when you know better, then it ain't no excuse for you being in the same situation, in the same circumstances, and staying stagnant where you are when you know better. So in the way, walking in that is what God expects. And listen to what it says, in the law or the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, you can never, listen at this well, you can never ever falter, you can never ever fall, and you can never ever be misled when you walk according to the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
Ever receive counsel from folk that you love and you respect it and you esteem them, and they meant well, but they led you astray? The wrong way, not intentionally, because they were only limited by their own knowledge base.
Amen.
But meaning well and desiring well, they told you out of their own experiences what they felt was the best way, and yet it was the wrong way.
Yeah.
You see, you've got to understand, God's way is the only way that we can hold fast to that will be surely the way that pleases the Lord.
Amen.
Look at this here, verse 2. It says, blessed, again, happy, well-adjusted is the person that keep his commandments or testimonies. Now listen to this, because here's something else that I want you to see. Now, first verse tells us that we've got to learn how to walk in those ways.
Yeah.
Now let me ask another question. How many of you started doing the right thing and somewhere down the road, you either stopped in the path or just for a little while, got off the path? Okay, let's see hands, because I think anybody, okay. All right. Now, here is the point that I'm trying to make. Because notice here, verse 2 gives us another key to unlock and unfold the characteristics in our lives and that God would have us to walk in. He says, that keep his testimonies, or some translations say statutes. And again, this goes back to his word and those things that are written and are recorded. But the word that keep, and this is important, because I want you to see this word keep. Because if you look at this word keep, you'll see it not only in this verse, but in other verses. Look in verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Move on down to verse 8. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake not me not utterly. Go on, if you will, verse 17. Deal bountifully with me, or thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. And 17 other times in this Psalm number 119 do you find the word keep. Now, what's the purpose of this word unlocking and unfolding before us the reality of a godly character developed and maintained to keep doing the right thing. See, just to start doing it don't impress God. To start doing the right thing, to start living the right way, to start saying the right thing does not impress God. What impresses him is if you walk right today and then he gives you a tomorrow, and you walk right tomorrow and he gives you another day and you walk right that next day. It's the continual keeping of those commandments, of those statutes, of those laws, of the word that impresses God and impresses his character upon you. So the reality is that we are to keep, and that's where the hard part comes in, when you don't understand that God is not looking for folk who can shout on Sundays but can't walk it on Mondays. That's where we miss it at, when we come to church and have a good time on Sunday, but again, we're walking in defeated lifestyles throughout the week. That's where we miss it at, when we don't understand how God desires us to operate in the earth realm representing him. And the reality is, if it is not a consistently practiced reality, that we will never ever be entire or whole. Now listen to that again. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Now this brings us to another level. I cannot continue to walk in the right way. I cannot continue to walk in the things of God. I cannot continue to keep my focus on him if I've given him half of my heart. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, here's the reality of this. If I am not seeking him with my whole heart, whatever part of my heart I'm seeking with, it is only that portion of my heart, am I going to be committed to understanding what it is he wants me to do. Now, just understanding what he wants me to do without the rest of my heart will not give me the desire to want to fulfill after I know what it is he wants me to do. Now, listen at this. If you do not seek the Lord with your whole heart, you will never, ever come into the full purpose of your existence here on planet Earth. See, there are some of you sitting out here right now know that you're in the wrong place. God's called you to do something. God's called you to be and raise life to another level. God has given you instructions, given you directions, given you a calling, and you're still sitting there wondering, Lord, you sure you want me to do it? Lord, you sure this is the right time? Well, Lord, I'm not right. I'm not this. Lord, I haven't done this. Blah, 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 la, 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 ya, ya. And all those excuses don't please God. Because I got news for you. He knew you wasn't right when he saved you. He knew you could never be in and of yourself everything he wanted or needed you to be. So he knew it was going to have to be him to change you, to rearrange you, to make you worthy and right to be what he's called you to be. All he needs you to do is step up to the plate and say, Lord, here I am, and I'm a willing vessel. Do in me, with me, to me, through me, what you desire for me, for your glory. And whenever we do things for God's glory, what happens to us? We receive the good. It's biblical. It's right. Matter of fact, when a man ways pleases the Lord, he'll deal with your enemy. You're too busy fighting your enemies. Stop worrying about your enemies and start praising and living for God, and God will handle your enemies. Bible says Jesus was telling the disciples about the things of the world and so forth that all of the Gentiles seek after. He said, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be. God knows what you need, and he'll just add them to you when you seek him. Do you know God knows how to bring opportunity to you? God knows how to bring favor to you. God knows how to bring open door opportunities to you, place them right before you. God knows how to bring blessings to you. You ain't got to go hunting and looking and doing what the world thinks ought to be done to get. God has a different set of rules by which he expects the believer to operate in. Now listen at this, because when you develop character, it may not always be something you'll shout about immediately. But when the results come, then you'll shout about those. Now listen at this. The Bible says again, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. That means this: my heart naturally in the flesh has a desire and a tendency to do what the natural wants it to do. It is designed naturally by the fleshly parts to desire only the things that will satisfy the flesh. I have got to, by godly character and design, cause my heart to desire God. In other words, I've got to take my heart and lead my heart away from the things of the flesh and lead my heart to the things of the spirit. Now listen, this is what you need to understand. Because they are diametrically opposed one to the other, I need to realize that my heart is not going to stay in position until it gets conditioned. I've got to realize that though I may live for the Lord today, until it becomes a practiced lifestyle, until my heart say, ain't no sense in me going the other way because he's going to pull me right back in order here. Until my heart is trained to not only seek God's presence, to desire God's presence, to want and love God's presence, it isn't until my whole heart comes into a unified effort of seeking God will I be able to really entertain God's presence in my life. God ain't sharing his presence with the devil. He ain't sharing his presence with my appetites, my attitudes, my ambitions, and my activities that walk opposite of him. God only wants to be where my whole heart is. And listen at this, there is not a person alive who can honestly say that they love somebody and they want half of their heart. I see some sour looking faces here. Maybe y'all ain't got the whole heart, or y'all ain't given the whole heart. But you ain't going to be in love with somebody and don't want their whole. Can I just get real here? God is a jealous God. His word declares. Now he don't want you two-timing him. And I got news for us. Some of us have been two-timing God. If God don't give us what we want when we want, Satan eases up to us and say, look here, baby. I know you're a Christian and everything, but the Lord is taking a little too long. Here it is. Here's what you want. If you'll do this. Well, don't think you're the only one the devil did that to. Just read the word. You'll see in Matthew's account that he tempted the Son of God in the wilderness. And he used every earthly thing that would be normally and naturally attractive to man and tried those same things on Jesus, but they didn't work. And do you know why they didn't work? Because God had Jesus's whole heart. And when God has your whole heart, do you know how you answer the devil? I'm glad you asked. Now notice Jesus didn't fuss with the devil. He didn't cuss the devil. He didn't even get hot under the collar with the devil. He just quoted what was in his heart. And can I give you a helpful holy hint as to what was in his heart? The word of God. The law of God, the statutes of God. And so what's in the heart when he opened up his mouth came out his mouth. And when the devil was misquoting, because I need you to know the devil ain't gonna ever give it to you straight. He'll line it up just enough so it reflects the truth, but it's mixed and mingled with some mess and stuff that's not pure. And when you got God's whole heart and God has your whole heart, you can immediately detect what ain't pure. And so Jesus said, it is written. I got the record. And see, that's why a whole lot of you can't stay in that place and walk in that path, because you don't really know what's written. You don't have the whole record because you're not seeking him. If you were seeking him, Psalm 1 say you'd meditate in that word day and night. And then you'd be planted like a tree. You couldn't go nowhere because you're planted, you're rooted, you're grounded. I mean, no passing wind can move you to this doctrine and to that doctrine. You can't be moved and stimulated by all of that stuff, because if it don't line up with the word, your heart automatically rejects it. Listen at this. Verse 3. They also do no iniquity, vainness, foolishness, nothingness. Those things that lend themselves to being vain, they don't participate in all of that. Because that vanity serves the flesh. And then they don't lose themselves in foolishness. See, a whole lot of saints mess up and miss out on their blessings dealing with foolishness.
You know, one of the things that you've got to realize is the whole source of foolishness comes from Satan himself. And you get caught up with a fool, you're going to act foolish if you deal with a fool too long. Because again, a whole reality of a fool's existence comes from the devil himself, Satan himself. So his source is never ever going to have anything that's pure, anything that's real, anything that's refreshing, reassuring, or anything. So why waste your time with a fool? Because all a fool is going to do is bring out what little bit of fool you might have left in you. And then nothingness. God save us from the pettiness of nothingness. More of us as believers waste too much time on stuff that means nothing. Lose too much valuable time when we can be witnesses. Too many time, much valuable time when we can be working. Too much valuable time when we can be doing something worth something, and we lose all of our time dealing with folk who are doing and are about nothing. If the conversation isn't about nothing, cease it. If the activity ain't about nothing, leave it alone. If where you're going ain't about nothing, don't go there. If the folk hanging around you ain't about nothing, because all of that is going to infiltrate you. All of that's going to affect you. All of that is going to somehow change, rearrange, and modify you. How many of you know that association truly long enough brings on assimilation? That's why you ought to purpose in your mind, I want to hang around, be with fellowship with folk who got something, who are what God's called them to be, because some of that starts to rub off on you. You begin to see godly character in action. You begin to understand principles that will help you to get. Listen, you ought not even be associated with folk who ain't going where you're trying to get to. And folk who are not interested in going where you're going. Because their plans will always be to divert you to their way, to their course. Now listen at this, because here again is the truth of God's word. You, again, the word says, do no iniquity, vainness, foolishness, and nothingness. And listen to what the word says. They walk in his ways, plural. Now this word ways here not only mean revelation, but it means the reality of the various paths of life. You see, that every area of your life, God has a designed way for you. And it is because of these various areas, these different plateaus, the different realms that God would have you to deal with and live with, he has a way, a revealed way for you to walk successfully in and to display his godly character. Yeah. Whether you're talking personal, whether you're talking business, whether you're talking socially, or any other realm, God has a word and he has a way that will help us to display his character in our lives. Now listen at this, because what you've got to realize is as you begin more and more to reflect the character of God, God more and more begins to release his power and his purpose in your life. You see, the more you become like him, the more you become able to do like him. The more you align yourself with what God would have you to do, the way that God would have you to be, the purpose of your life for God, God begins to show you some things that will ultimately change and transform your life and bring reality without strain. See, a whole lot of us are struggling and straining because our whole heart isn't focused on God. That's the only reason why I got to struggle with doing right, because I want to do wrong. That's why I have a struggle going on. Listen, whatever the natural deals with and conflicts with the spirit, there's going to be a struggle. Now this is why Paul say, I die daily. Because on yesterday, I gave up something, but today there still is something I got to give up, but I still want. So you give up smoking, but you still got to give up drinking. You give up drinking, but you still got to give up gambling. You give up gambling, but you still got to give up lying. You give up lying, but you still got to give up cheating. You give up, I wish I had somebody. You ain't through till God is through with you. And it's a constant evolving reality. I don't care how long you are in the Lord. God is steadily working on you, perfecting you. He's steadily bringing you to a new level and to new heights and purging you and purifying you so that you can be like He is, perfect. And don't ever get to that place where you think you are perfect in yourself. Because the devil has hoodwinked you. He has fooled you. He has lied. You ain't perfect yet. But you're working on it. And there ought to be some differences, not only that the world can see, but that you yourself can see. Because you know, when you know you've been changed, and you're put in a situation that aforetime you would have done something, you can look and say, my, I know the Lord. Oh, bless. Because I remember, I would have. But thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. And see, you know you've been changed. Because you know you, ooh, glory. Hey, And when you know you've been changed and you know you've been rearranged, it becomes conspicuously obvious to other folk you sure enough been changed. Amen. The angels in heaven done signed. Oh, bless His holy name. But listen as I close on this text today. It is so important to understand again, just like the word keep, notice the word walk again comes into play. Because it's not simply enough to know right. It's not simply enough to have the revelation. It's not simply enough to know the knowledge. The change comes when you start making steps.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Won't He make it?